Hare Krishna. Welcome. Today I'm going to talk on this subject. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Knowing Krishna. So we all know that statement. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Is that true? Is it relatively reasonably effective in life? What you know helps you. It's good to know a couple of things. But who you know might help you more. If they're going to lay off 20 people at your job, and you don't know any middle managers, your name might be on the list. But if you know somebody higher up, middle management, or if your father-in-law owns the business, even better, then maybe your name is not on the list to be laid off. It's not what you know, it's who you know. So, here in Krishna consciousness, we practice bhakti yoga, the yoga of love and devotion to God. Well, everybody knows something about God. Even an atheist knows something about God. He's got to have a basis for rejecting him. Oh, that? No, that, I don't. There is no such thing as God. In accordance with the definition you're giving me, no. That's what an atheist would say. So everybody, no matter their background, depending what religion you come from, or no religion, has a concept of God. But here, our concept, I'm going to cover the varying concepts of God for you, in case you're unfamiliar. But here, our conception of God, the one we embrace, the one we try to develop and incorporate into our lives daily, is a personal conception of God as a person. So, it's not what you know about God, it's who you know. So, here we embrace, we develop a relationship, we develop a reciprocal loving relationship with God in His form as Krishna. Oh, that's his only form? The little blue guy with the flute? Is that it? Oh, no. Innumerable forms. God has innumerable forms. God's unlimited. Therefore, his forms are unlimited. It says there are more forms of God than there are rivulets of water in the ocean. Hard to conceive. But we are worshiping here, or developing our loving relationship with Krishna. Why? Let's see if we can cover that as we go. The first sutra of the Vedanta Sutra, is considered to be a very important text. And it's kind of fundamentally the beginning or essence of Vedic knowledge. And the first sutra, or the first tenet, aphorism is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Atato, and now, Brahma Jigyasa. Bless you. Jigyasa means the time for inquiry. Bless you. Atato, now is the time for inquiry into Brahma. What's Brahma? Can't hear you. Spirit. Now, what do you mean? Now at 3:40? in the afternoon? Is that what they mean? What do they mean? Tell me. What does now mean?
As soon as you realize the urgency.
As soon as you're in, yes. But as soon as you're in a human form, now's the time. Why? Because it wouldn't be possible unless you had a human form. Well, guess what? We all have something in common here. We're all humans. We're different races, backgrounds, nationalities, colors. I love that sort of thing myself. It makes life far more exciting. But the point is, we're all humans. Now is the time for inquiry into Brahma. Well, what do you mean, Brahma? I never saw any Brahma. Never met anybody. Well, if you've ever asked yourself, who am I? What am I doing here? What is my purpose? Is there any point to this existence? Is there any point to all this? Why am I here? What should I be doing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? I'm really confused. I'm bewildered. I don't know what to do. Different people tell me different things. Well, the first thing is, you're a soul. That's Brahma. Brahma is spirit. But this is not the spiritual world. This is the material world. How do I know that? Easy. Because everything decays in time. Everything dwindles. It diminishes. Sooner or later falls apart. Gets old. Gets diseased in some cases. Like here in Dublin, the infrastructure of the water service, the pipes, was it 200 years old, these pipes? Something like this. Yeah, well, we need new pipes. We're in the material world. Things fall apart. Not surprising. We got material bodies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Dense, thick. Do they fall apart? Oh, yes, my friends. They do. Trust me when I tell you, the little older you get, they don't function as well as they used to. What about spirit? Does it fall apart? Does it dwindle? Does it decay? Does it die? No, it doesn't. So why would we put all our effort into matter, into the physicality, into the physical world, into the material world, if that's the part that decays and dies eventually? Yet how much of our energy goes into that? Bless you. How much of our energy goes into that? 100%? 99%? 97.3%? 60-40%? No, that's pretty good. Sounds better. 50-50. How much energy do you give to your eternal being, your spirit, that which will be with you forever and ever and ever and ever, ad infinitum? Not subject to death and decay. How much of your time and energy do you give? Well, I'm very busy, you know. Yeah, I know you are. And still there are only 24 hours in your day. How dare they do that to me? Do they not know how busy I am? 24 hours. Not enough time. Not near enough. So, we need to pay attention to our soul, our spirit, our spiritual identity. Here we have dense matter, like this table. It's dense. Does this table have consciousness? We have consciousness. You all have consciousness. We have awareness. Right? Does the table have awareness? Dense matter? This asana, the floor? No. It's impersonal. It's just dense energy. In the spiritual world, they have tables and floors and buildings and grass and trees. They have all that. Is it dense? Is it sentient? Is it aware? Or is it insentient in the spiritual world? Do you know? Everything in the spiritual world has consciousness. Everything. The grass? A table? Yeah. Everything has consciousness. Can you imagine? So you could actually have that conversation with that rock or that tree that you wouldn't do here because people would look at you weird. In the spiritual world, you can do it. Everything is conscious. Can you imagine what that might be like to interact with? So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the main text, it's actually the Bhagavad Purana. It's one of the 18 Puranas. There are 18 Puranas or histories of India. Well, it's not so much of India, it's actually of creation, to be honest. And different millennia at which times different creations take place. There are six times three is 18. Six Puranas in the mode of ignorance or tamas, six Puranas in the mode of passion or rajas, and six Puranas in the mode of goodness or sattva. The Bhagavad Purana is in the mode of goodness, which is a much higher mode of consciousness. And there it says, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajjnanam advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Shabdite. So what does that mean? God is realized in three phases. God being a non-dual substance, being spirit. Everything is spirit is the unseen matrix upon which everything is hung, which everything rests. All material energy needs a spiritual matrix on which to exist. Without that spiritual matrix, it could not cohere? Is that it? Cohesive, yeah, but what's the... It couldn't hang together. I think it's cohere. So it's necessary to have that spiritual matrix. So God is spirit. Everybody pretty much agrees that God is spirit, right? So, there are three levels, of according to this, of God realization, or God manifestation. Brahman, Brahmeti, Brahmaiti. So, energy. That's God as energy. Paramatmeti, Paramatma is super soul, supreme soul. Within the heart of every individual, you have a soul, Atma, and a Parama Atma, Supreme Soul. You, your identity, your individuality as the Atma, and Parama Atma, Supreme Atma, God, sitting in the heart alongside you. And then the third level of God realization is Bhagavan, God Himself, personal. Personal form of God. Just like you are sitting here in your personal form. Most people, when they are introduced to yoga, Eastern philosophy, and that sort of thing, they become aware of God as energy. We kind of know that God is energy. Most of us, correct? Spiritual energy. And monists, monist is somebody mono, somebody who thinks of God as what? as this indescribable energy that doesn't have any features so much. It's just divine spiritual energy. It is true that that exists. It's the first level of God realization. And it's called Brahman. Atheists, for example, who are envious of God. Why would I say they're envious of God? They're envious of God because they don't want to acknowledge a power greater than they themselves. Because if you acknowledge a power greater than you, you have to respond to that somehow. You have to at least respond to it by acknowledging it, and perhaps more, recognizing it or developing a relationship with it. So atheists get very angry when they are forcefully told that there's a higher being than they themselves. That's not the first level of God realization, atheism. I'm just pointing it out. Monism, or that energy, that non-differentiated energy of God, that's the first level. So a monist says, everything is God's energy. It is. We're all God's energy, and all the forms are manifested as such. So I'm God, you're God, everything's God, we're all God. And we would say here in the Bhakti tradition that yes, we are all spirit. Yes, we are non-differentiated in terms of spirit, as a drop of ocean water contains all the qualities of the entire ocean in the same proportion, in terms of salt and different things. So yeah, that's true. But not in the same proportion. So the monist says there's no differentiation. I'm God, and God is God. We're all God. But that is a lower understanding of God realization, as we shall see as we move on. So, if indeed he's God, how does he come under the influence of the material energy? How are you subject to birth, death, repeated birth and death, sorrow, suffering, old age, disease, if you're God? How do you come under the influence of illusion? Everybody in the material world, to some extent, is under the influence of Maya, illusion, material condition. How would God, by definition, fall under that influence? So, I would describe it like this. Some monists think they are God, which is, in a sense, an inflation of the ego. I'm God. We're all God. But if he, many people who see God as energy think that part and parcel of that is when you become liberated, you lose what? When your soul becomes liberated and you don't have to take birth again down here in the material world, you forfeit, you give up, you lose your what?
Identity.
And we all merge into the same oneness, the same identity. You follow me, right? Because why? Why do they adhere, or why do they gravitate toward that? Because their life in the material world has been one of sorrow, suffering, pain, frustration, loss of their loved ones, loss of their houses, loss of their jobs, only because this is close to home recently. Everything ends in loss. It's too painful. I don't want that identity. I want to lose my identity and merge into the oneness of it all. Would that be inflated ego or deflated ego in that sense? Deflated ego. I'm God. Inflated ego. I don't even want to know who I am. I just want to forget everything. Merge me in. Deflated ego. Which one do we want? Neither. Neither. Okay? There is, in the Krishna conscious tradition, we accept one's identity. Not just your identity in this lifetime as Korma Prabhu, or your identity as Pravesh Prabhu or Neve. That's a temporary identity that comes with the body. There is an eternal identity that comes with the soul. And an eternal body. A Siddha Svarupa. Do we know what that is? I dare say most of us don't yet, because you have to be on the level wherein you can realize it. Just like a newborn baby may be well taken care of by its family, but really doesn't have an identity. It doesn't really know who it is. It may not be able to distinguish from its mother, its father, its sister, its brother. Correct? After a while, it will begin to understand its identity and subsequently its place. So, in the same way, you may not understand your spiritual identity, eternal individuality at this point in time. You follow me? Good. So, the first level is energy. The second level of God realization, Paramatma realization, is diversity. Not oneness. And how is diversity manifest? Look around the room. It's all around you. We're all diverse beings. Some are masculine, some are feminine. Every color of the rainbow here with skin colors and nationalities can be seen pretty much in this room. Ethnic background. There's your diversity. Well, how do you realize God in that? You realize God by knowing that God is inside each and every single, what, just people? No. Is God in nature? Is God in the plants? Would the plants grow without spirit? No. Is God in the animals and the insects and the birds? Yes. Right? So we can have relationships. You say, well, I'm only having a relationship here with Kalindi because this is a person. No. Inside is also the soul. The soul and the super soul, Paramatma. That's why devotees, Krishna devotees in particular, have been taught to bow down to each other and pay their obeisances and say a prayer. Or at least, at the very least, treat each other with a very high level of respect. Why? Well, first of all, it's the proper thing to do between humans anyway. But it is acknowledging that God is within that person. What is the word, the term that everybody knows that's practiced yoga in any form? We all know how to say what? Namaste. Don't we? Everybody knows that, I think. So what does it mean? Namas means I bow down, I offer my respects, or we would say I offer my obeisances, same thing. Te means unto you. Te is you. May there be obeisances, may there be respects unto you. Why do we say that? Because of God in the heart, because of the divine existence of spirit, your own spirit, and that of God within you. That's why we do it. So we can realize God. Do you ever spend time with a soul, another person, and you get a realization or a revelation spiritually that moves you, that you find very powerful? Oh my God, I just realized something. I never thought of this before. Maybe this person said something. Maybe they said nothing. Maybe it was a small gesture. Maybe they did. Maybe they gave you something. Maybe a little girl walked up to you, stranger on the street, and gave you a, you told me this story years ago, a bouquet of flowers. Right? Anything can move you. So, do we only see God when we come to the temple? No. Then the third level is personality. God is a person. When we realize God as a person, it's the highest level. Why? It's my opinion. Because you can enter into relationship, as we do, with other persons. We have relationships. We have relationships with bosses, people who tell us what's required and we do it, or officials from the court or the police. We have relationships with friends. We have relationships with people who work for us. We have relationships with neutral relationships, like the guy at the spa who sells you a newspaper, bus driver. We have relationships with our children, with our parents. We have relationships with our loved ones, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our lover, our husband, our wife. We have relationships. And relationships make life rewarding. And essentially, the essence of relationship, whether we realize it or not, is love. We want love. We want friends. We want friendship. We want warmth. We want affection. We want to be acknowledged. We want to have a lovely exchange with somebody. It's nice when we know the person real well, but it's even nice. It can also be very nice when it's a stranger. You pull into a car park and somebody runs over to you and goes, "I got 20 minutes left on the ticket here. I'm leaving. Do you want it?" "Oh, thank you. You're very kind. That's all I need. 20 minutes. Put that on your dashboard and simple things. So the relationship with God is a little more comprehensive than that. But that's what we live for. We live for relationships. I use this example. I probably said it in here. If you've got somebody who's a hero or somebody you look up to, or maybe a singer, or it could be anybody that would be important in your life that was one of your heroes or role models since you were young, perhaps. And you're going to go to his house. You've been invited to his house. My hero. I had his posters up on my wall when I was a kid. I listened to his music. Okay, you're going to his house now. First thing is, you go in, you're invited in. He's not there. And you see his house, his stuff, his furniture, his rooms, his gold records on the walls, his art collection, his swimming pool. I don't know. And you're overwhelmed by the what? The energy. His energy. This is his energy. This is not an album cover. That's his energy. Wow. Oh, wow, there's that one. Record. I remember that one. You know, like this. And then some people, maybe his wife, maybe his manager, other people that are there who know him and have known him for years, then they come around and they start telling you, oh yeah, well this happened once and one time he did this and one time he did. Now you're getting these intimate stories about him. You're getting closer, aren't you? Isn't that closer? See, now you're on the diversity level. You're hearing from all these people about this wonderful person that you admire. And then finally, at long last, the door opens. Who walks in? The man himself. And you meet him, you shake his hand, he says, come on, give me a hug. Good to see you. Good to meet you. And now he's becoming your friend. What is that worth? Tell me, that experience. It's priceless, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. That level of God consciousness. Only the guy who walks into the room is the little blue guy with the flute. Krishna. Why Krishna? Because Krishna is the most beautiful form of God. The most attractive form of God. And he likes to do what? Sing, dance, and play. Well, he's not very serious guy, is he? No, frankly, he's not. We're all very serious now. Yes, we are. We grew up, you know. Remember, you grew up. You resisted it for years, right? You tried not to. Sooner or later, you caved in. You grew up. You became a responsible adult. Maybe some of us didn't. Maybe we're still rebelling. But remember when you were a kid? Singing, dancing, playing. Did you like art class in school? Oh, we're going to draw pictures now. I love it. I love drawing pictures. Whatever. Or we're going to run around the playground, play some sports. Well, that's your man. That's Krishna. That's what he likes to do. He's Navayovana. Eternally youthful. Does it mean he can't act like an adult? Well, he can. He does. But not too much, you know. That's the emphasis is in play, love, enjoyment, fun. He's a fun guy. You want to meet the original fun guy? It's Krishna. He's known to be a rascal. He is a rascal. Just like you probably were when you were a kid. But it's fun. Now, so, we got energy, we got diversity, we got personality. These are the three facets of spirit in God realization. Well, what are we doing here? I'm crossing myself, as you do if you're a Catholic. I think, do the Anglicans, the Church of England, do they do this too? I don't know. But that's what I'm doing for those of you who are not seeing me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Correct? What do you call that? The Holy Trinity. Trinity. Isn't that what I just told you about? The Holy Trinity? 2 minutes ago? Where do you think they get that from? Oh, yeah, well, wait now, hang on. Christianity goes back 2,000 years. Well, this goes back to the beginning of creation and beyond. This is way older. Study, believe me. This is the oldest culture, the oldest spiritual tradition in the world. If you don't believe me, study. You will see. I have studied 40 years. It's the oldest. It's the most comprehensive. So, in the name of the Father, who's that? That's Krishna. Or the personal God. That's God. God Almighty, if you like. Now, here's a tricky one. The Son. That's tricky. How does that fit into what I just told you? What's the Son? Can't hear you. Is it just Jesus Christ?
No.
No, it's not just Jesus Christ. You're limiting him. Oh, I only have one Son. Jesus Christ, that's it. No. Sons and daughters, you're looking at them. Here they are. Diversity. Personality. Oops. Thank you. Personality. Diversity. All of these beings and the animals. Correct? Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. What's that? The energy. The oneness. The Brahman. On which everything rests. And the Holy Ghost descended upon them. The energy came over them. And they could speak in tongues. Isn't this a biblical quote? No, they could do all kinds of things because they were imbued with spirit. So, is this not the same tradition? A little different? Oh, yes, my friends. Okay. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, so you might say, yeah, but I'm attracted to the energy of God. That's kind of how I want to roll. I just want to identify with the energy. I'm God, you're God. You know, it's nice. And I'm going to do that path. And that path of yoga, there are many systems of yoga, many. Means I'm going to use yoga practices, yama, niyama, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, many practices. And by doing these practices, I am going to liberate my soul from the body, because these are technical practices. Mechanical, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean there's methodical practices that are going to deliver a result and raise your consciousness. If I practice in this way over time, my consciousness will be raised and I will realize that I am Brahman, spirit. Is that true? Does it work? Yes. It does, if you're focused and steady. It does work. But in the 12th chapter, when Krishna goes through all the different methods of yoga that are available for people, he then makes this statement, or at some point he makes this statement, klesho dika taraste sham avyakta sakta cetasam avyakta hi gatira dukam dehavad bir avapyate. Which means, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal forms or features of the Supreme, advancement in spiritual life is very troublesome. Oh. Does he say you can't advance in spiritual life? Does he say that there? No. He says what? It's troublesome. It's not so easy. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Why? Because it's mechanical. I'm working towards something. I'm going to go back to, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Supposing you want to get into the university, Trinity College, or some nice university. Not so easy to get into. You can do the mechanical thing and take the exams. Well, you're going to have to do it anyway, likely. And you may be 2 points short of passing that exam. And you studied hard and you did this. You did all the mechanical stuff you're supposed to do. It didn't work. Will you get in? No. Even if you're like 1 point under, 2 points under, will you get in? Uh-uh. You won't. Not to a top university. But if you know someone on the board of the university and you appeal to that person, you know, I was only 2 points short and they're going to reject my application. I really want to go to this. I'll put a word in for you. I won't promise. Let me see what I can do. Right? And you get in. Now you're practicing, sort of, bhakti yoga. Because the second part of that quote, Krishna says, "But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service." Devotional service is bhakti yoga, the yoga of love and devotion. "And always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death." It's not what you know, it's who you know. So the mechanical process is fine, but it's a difficult process and it's troublesome. If you know Krishna, if you have a relationship with Krishna, you are free to develop it. Then you don't need to do all that stuff. That's a fact. That's called causeless mercy. God's mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's on the altar there in the center, and his companions, there's five of them there, Panchatattva. Chaitanya is a manifestation of God who appeared on earth 500 years ago, roughly. And he taught the chanting of the holy names of God. Now, he recommended Hare Krishna, etc. But he didn't limit that. I mean, if you wanted to chant Allahu Akbar, okay. If you want to chant Our Father Who Art in Heaven, I don't know, it's not exactly a name. But the point is, the names of God, whatever discipline you like, as Prabhupada has pointed out. But Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, the great mantra, which everybody at this point in time practically knows, even if you're not interested in it. These are the names of God. God is absolute. And by chanting the names of God, which you can do anytime, including when you're driving a car down the street, I don't mean with your hand wrapped in a bead bag, I just mean driving down the street, you can be chanting naturally. So that's what's recommended for this day and age, because it's anybody can do it, including a child. But there are many ways to approach Krishna. So, how do we know? What are some of the qualities of God? We said the third level of God realization is the personal form of God. And that is called, in Sanskrit, Bhagavan. Bhagavan comes from the root word Bhagavat. Vat means one who possesses. Bhaga means certain qualities. They translate it as opulences, but it's certain qualities. There are six. Aishvaryasya samagrasya, viryasya yashasa shriya, jnana vairagya yoschapi shanang bhaga itengana. So these six qualities are what we in the material world are most attracted to. Really? Yes. It's programmed in. It's in the DNA. For whom? Everybody. Doesn't matter where you come from? Nope. Six qualities in particular. Aishvarya, wealth or success. Samagrasya, virya, strength, power, talent, ability. Yashas, number three, fame, being well known, being praised, being popular, influential, name, fame, acclaim. Nowadays, there are people who want to just be famous for no reason. All of them got reality shows on TV. Many of them do. People chase fame without anything in particular to offer. I just think it's an interesting phenomenon. So, fame, yashas, shri, beauty. Beauty, attractiveness. Is beauty only physical beauty? Physical beauty is nice, but is that the only concept of beauty? No. It's whatever you think beauty is, including physical beauty. On covers of magazines, typically, what kind of people do they put on the cover of magazines? Beautiful people, regular people, or not very attractive people? Typically, beautiful people, correct? So, yashasatriya, jnana, this is number five, knowledge. Knowledge, what kind of knowledge? People who know things, who can teach you things, who have understanding of some kind, or the knowledge gives them, pardon me, abilities, or they can solve problems, or they can counsel, or they can teach school. So many things. They can fix a car. Jnana. Very attractive quality. And the last one out of the six qualities of the Godhead is one that no one would ever guess. What is it?
Renunciation.
Vairagya. Or tyaga. Renunciation. Detachment. That's not attractive. Oh yeah? It's very powerful. God doesn't need anyone. God is neutral. Is he the God of anger and hellfire and brimstone? No, we're not interested in that feature. No. Well, you said a minute ago that he was a loving God and we could go into a loving reciprocal relationship with him. And now you're saying he's neutral. Which is it? It's up to you. Depends how you approach it. If you have a neutral attitude toward God, he's going to be neutral to you. You have a coworker that you have a neutral attitude toward. You see that person every day, but you might say good morning or hey, how's it going? But you don't engage. Well, you don't like this person? No. You like him? I don't think of him one way or another. It's neutral. Is that a problem? No. So you can be that way toward God. Or you could be an atheist. I just don't believe him. I got no use for him. I don't have no time for him. Or you get to know him. You put time and energy into developing that loving relationship with God. And he'll reciprocate. He's neutral unless you develop. You come to him and say, I want our relationship to blossom. Offer him leaf, flower, fruit, water. Offer him something. Pick him a flower. Offer him a flower. This is water. Offer him water. Piece of fruit. A prayer. A prayer in which you don't ask for something. Well, there's a concept. You know, we're all saying, God, this is happening. That's it. She said this and he's doing that. God, I don't know what's going to happen. Can you help me? Okay, that's fine. You know, he's used to that. He's used to having his ear worn off with that sort of thing. Why don't you go with your flower or your fruit and say, Krishna, how's it going for you today? What have you been up to? Is there anything I can do for you? What? What did he just say? Yeah, you heard me. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything you want me to do? What? That's a joke. You know, it's God. He can, like, cover everything himself, okay? It's not the point. When you come home from work and your 5-year-old son or daughter says, can I get you your slippers? Can I give you the newspaper? Can I get you a cup of tea? Or whatever. What, you can't get it yourself? Of course you can. That is simple act. Is an act of love. And you could do it better than the little 5-year-old girl could do it. That's not the point. You think it's different with God? It isn't. It's not different. He appreciates what? What does he take from that? Does he take the fact that you've given him water or fruit? Is that what's important? No. He takes the love. He takes the loving gesture. He takes the kindness. That's what he wants. What do you mean that's what he wants? That's what he wants. He wants your love. Well, he can exist without my love. Oh, yes. Very true. You can exist without his love too. Problem is you keep dying and coming back. Jeez, I gotta get that part right. I'm doing this on my own here, but I hit this wall every time. It's called death. Next thing you know, I'm in this little baby body acting like a fool. I can't walk, can't talk right. I go in my pants. I don't like any of that. There you go. Right? So So we want to get to the point where we develop our loving relationship, and God will receive that love. That's why everything's personal, and everything works in that manner. So the six opulences of the Godhead that we just mentioned, beauty, wealth, success, power, talent, ability, fame, knowledge, renunciation, being able to let go of anything and move on. Let it go. Move on. Anybody you can think about that you think is wonderful has one of those qualities, those six opulences, developed to a very high degree. I assure you. Maybe more than one, maybe several. And that makes them, in our minds as humans, very attractive. Why do people watch The X Factor? Because somebody does this act on stage that is very, very entertaining or funny, or they sing beautifully, or they do all kinds of different things. And we find that attractive. That one thing. Say, there was a woman they had on with this dog. It was silly. And she made like she was a ventriloquist. And the dog opened its mouth at the right time, and she said the words instead. It was hilarious. It was very funny. It's clever. So, my point is, God is the person who has all of the six qualities fully developed. Just as we are attracted to a person who's very beautiful or sings beautifully, has this ability, or a person who is detached. Oh, how does the detachment work? When you were younger, maybe even your adult life, and you were interested in a boy at school, and the more disinterested he was, the more interested you became. Because, oh no, I really, really like him. Yeah, but he's not interested. I don't care. This detachment is very powerful. This ability to walk away from people and circumstances. And God has that ability. So, we need to develop these qualities within ourselves. But the point being that God has the qualities fully developed, and that's what makes him so attractive. Krishna has all of these qualities fully developed. So there are five kinds of personal relationships that one can have with God as an energy. First level, Brahman? No. With God in diversity? No. Only with God as the personality. What are those relationships? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Shanta is on reverence. We can approach God through on reverence. Well, we can approach the energy, the energetic level, same way. We just are in awe and very respectful of God, even though we don't know much about Him or many details. That's Shanta, neutrality. And most people approach God in that manner, to have a relationship with God. And if you ask them to describe God, if you ask a Christian to tell you God's name, they don't know. There's no name mentioned. There's Yahweh and Jehovah from way back. There's no real name mentioned. They just call Him God. But God's a thing, a position. It's not a name. So, Shanta, a relationship of neutrality. Next one is Dasya, service. Wanting to serve. I just told you how to do it. Just even in the in the privacy of your own home or in your mind, offer things to God. That's service in a loving manner. Simple. Chant His name. Chant Hare Krishna. That's service. Simple. Many people take holy orders. They become a nun or priest, or they go into a monastery, ashram. To what? To serve. To serve God. To do what needs to be done. Or to serve the poor, but as a messenger of God, as a representative of God. So this is service. The next level up is friendship, where you befriend God. I talked about it. You make God your friend. Krishna, especially, he likes that. So, as you would befriend others, you befriend God. That's a higher level. Because why? Now it's more intimate. The next level is vatsalya, rasa, or the relationship, having God as your child. There's all kinds of examples of that, even in the Christian faith, or Mary and Jesus, right? They gave birth to Jesus. Same concept, no? So there's many, many examples of that in the Vedic tradition, where a soul can give birth to God or an empowered being, a being empowered by God, who will make a difference in the world. And then the topmost one is Radha and Krishna, and as Madhurya Lila, God and his consort, an intimate relationship. This is Krishna and the gopis. So that is intimacy between the man and the woman, God and goddess. So these relationships are there. And depending how you want to approach God, it's not like there's only certain things you can do. You can only look at God and worship God in awe and reverence. Oh God, okay, please don't get angry with me, but you can do it on that level if you want. Or you can do it at a much higher level, depending on your nature, depending on your level of purification, development. So, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So we're here to help you to know Krishna. Because if you come to know Krishna, it's wonderful. Wonderful. He's a wonderful guy. I highly recommend you spending time with him. Because it's very exciting. And it's very stimulating. And to know that at the end of your life, if you have a loving relationship with Krishna, you don't have to take another birth in the material world, which inevitably leads to death. Over and over and over again. Lifetime after lifetime. So we invite you now to chant Hare Krishna with us in kirtan, congregational chanting, and then we invite you to eat Krishna prasad, food cooked for and offered to Krishna with love, vegetarian food. You mean you can eat this food and get purified from negative karmic reaction? Yes, you can. Simple. Eat, dance, chant. You know? All right. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Any questions? comments? Okay, then we're going to chant Prabhu.
I think you mentioned one of the opulences that Krishna is obviously very intelligent, and you mentioned about the exams. I just remember back to my student days, there was one student, and you talking about doing the practical things, the mechanical things, you know, studying, whatever. So what he did, he went through all the past exam papers and labelled all the different types of questions, A, B, C, D, whatever. And the ones that came up the most, he studied. He just studied, had to answer four questions. So the top four he studied. The rest, he didn't bother. And that's it, he passed. But you could say it was cheating, but he was using his intelligence.
No, that's not cheating.
He used the least square, the mathematical formula to do it.
Yeah.
And it came up, it came to talk. You know.
Very good. So, in his case, it was what he knew.
Yeah.
He didn't need to know who. He didn't need to know somebody. Very good. Okay. Hare Krishna.